12 o'clock hour. Brought to you by one person, one organization, one group only. You know them well and you love them. Buddy's goodies in glass. Where their motto has never changed, folks, down in Renton. It's always 420. And when you do refer to it, the paradise in the South, leave the T out. Renton. It's real simple. Renton. Final hour for us includes a visit coming up here momentarily with our good buddy Ryan Leaf. I believe is set to play in a golf tournament. Ryan's going to join us to talk about the media day yesterday down in Los Angeles. He was a part of it with Sirius XM Radio. He got a chance to sit down with Nick Rolovich, so we'll catch up with him and his thoughts on what he learned from Nick Rolovich. Opinion change. He got to interview him one-on-one, so different than the press conference that we all saw yesterday and then listened to. So a few different questions, so we'll get his perspective on that. And then also, you know, news and notes about the Pac-12 and quarterback situation, the situation with Herm Edwards and Arizona State. In case you missed it, of course, Sophie and Fain were down there. All of their interviews are podcasted up at sportsradiokjar.com. There's too many to highlight. They're just all up there.
As the person who did the podcast for it, yeah, there's a lot from yesterday. Britton Covey, Keaton Slovis.
Herm Edwards is the biggest ass I've ever listened to. Just an ass. So did you hear that interview?
No, I didn't.
It was during Crosstalk with Ian.
Oh, okay, that's why I didn't catch it.
He sat down during Crosstalk and just was an ass. And it just, the swarmy, like, snake oil salesman not wanting, what distraction? We didn't discuss it. What's going on? I don't know. You know, playing stupid and coy. It just was dumb. The whole, not that the interview, those guys ask good questions. When I say it's dumb, it's not because of them. It was dumb because of the coach. Like, dude, your school is going to 100% is going to get penalized for what they did. You and maybe someone's going to lose their job because of what you guys did. Now, because it's the NCAA and it takes forever, it's probably not going to happen for a while. But he was just so flippant about it. And he's like, whoa, we're here to talk football. And then Savi's like, well, yeah, but you do understand this is a huge story.
And it's also football-related.
No, football-related. He's like, no, it's not. We're here about the players. It's just, it was so dismissive and terrible. He just was, just terrible, the whole thing. But all those interviews up there at Sports Radio, KJR.com. Other news and notes today here in our lunch break top story of the day, brought to you by Farm Fresh Northwest, northwestfarmfresh.com. Again, if you go on there, order any of their meat packages. They have pasture-raised cattle and pigs, 100% pasture-raised, non-GMO, zero hormones, northwestfarmfresh.com. No monthly contract. Sign up. It's delivered right to your house here in the Puget Sound area. The farm is over in eastern Washington, just north there of the Tri-Cities area. Use the code KJR. Use the code KJR, $15 off. Your first purchase there. Other news and notes. I got to go back and listen to it. I hear the Aaron Rodgers press conference today was a doozy. Just aired out the entire dirty laundry.
Just laid it all on the line. Every little bit of it.
Deshaun Watson back at practice today for the Texans. No Lamar Jackson tested positive for COVID. Cole Beasley, a Bills player, says players need more information on the vaccination, and that's why he hasn't taken it yet. The Oakland A's have acquired Starling Marte from the Marlins for Jesus Luzardo. The Seattle Kraken have signed a couple of players today because it is the free agency there in the National Hockey League. And they have signed a big-time goaltender, Philip Grubauer. But all I can think about is Hans Gruber. And it's a six-year deal worth, what, $34, $35 million. And they've also agreed to a deal with Jaden Schwartz on a five-year contract. Average salary, about $5.5 million. And they've agreed to a deal with Alex Winberg on a three-year contract. The very latest for the Seattle Kraken as free agency is underway. Other news, this is a bummer. We haven't talked about it today. Maybe we can squeeze it in. Simone Biles has withdrawn from the individual all-around final, which is just devastating for everyone, devastating for a 12-year-old that I know who was just bawling this morning when she found out that she's not going to compete. But hopefully Simone Biles takes a step back and gets the help that she needs. Clearly was not in the right headspace to compete there at the Olympics. All right, let's get to it. Talk a little college football. Yesterday was Pac-12 Media Day down in Los Angeles. Ryan Leaf was down there with Sirius XM Radio, doing all the interviews with all the players, including Nick Rolovich. And Ryan Leaf joins us right now here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. And here's the thing with Ryan. Is this guy, a lot of questions, a lot of hard-hitting questions, and going right after the head coach of Washington State. We'll find out everything that happened down in the press conference with as we talk a little college football right now. Joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline is our good friend Ryan Leaf. He's back on the radio program after spending some time down there in Los Angeles. He's got people in the background telling him hi. He's a superstar. He's in Tri-Cities. He's got a golf tournament that he's doing right now, and he's on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for having me, Jay.
But let's talk about yesterday down there at Pac-12 Media Day. You were down there working for Sirius XM. I saw the picture of you with the commissioner there of the conference. Let's just start there. What was your kind of main takeaway from George Kliavkoff and his first, I guess, formal press conference as the commissioner of the Pac-12?
Quite ever know, you know, these men are incredibly personable and have been very successful in their lives for a reason. So you want to see how they start to manage some things, and there's some very difficult things on the horizon for the Pac-12 conference, and in particular with Texas and Oklahoma doing what they're doing. He's been fielding calls about realignment. What does that look like? The Pac-12 headquarters in San Francisco, that's kind of become a money pit. What does that look like in terms of where they're going to there? And of course, the TV rights that are going to be up here in a few years, and what that looks like. So there's significant things for him. What I did like to hear is that they have started a football committee. It's something that had been done on the basketball side, and I feel like it had improved it to a point like what we saw this past spring in the crescendo it made and got the teams as far as they did. For whatever reason, they never had a football committee, one where all the coaches and athletic directors and everybody would come together and figure out a plan on how to utilize and make and optimize the most of the conference's football programs. And he's very adamant about making it about football and men's basketball again in Pac-12.
What I liked about Orion is I thought the tone was different than obviously Larry Scott. And it certainly was calculated in terms of referencing football and basketball and that being the priority. It's not like he didn't ignore the women's sports or Olympic sports, but he went right away to say the emphasis is championships in football and basketball. And that tone is different from Larry Scott.
Because Larry fell back on the fact that we were winning Olympic championships, and that's just not what ultimately pays the bills, because this conference has been regulated to a position right now where when College Game Day's on Saturdays, the members of that panel, like Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis, are saying that this conference is irrelevant, and that can't continue. Now, we don't have an elite team, and that may still limit us, especially with the 14 playoffs still, but we have to have elite play. It just can't be seen as a conference that beats up on each other and can't win non-conference games. That's why the non-conference early in the year is so important for this conference.
Ryan Leaf with us. He's joining us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Spent the whole day down in Los Angeles yesterday at Pac-12 Media Day. First public comments there from Nick Rolovich. I mean, besides his statement, but first time people got to ask him questions. After the filibuster that he had, which was 11 and a half minutes talking about everything other than the biggest topic of why everyone was there to ask him questions, what was your reaction to what you heard yesterday from Nick Rolovich?
Ironically enough, I think I may have been the only one that truly asked the two difficult questions. A, does he fully understand the expectations that he has to win this year and he's put his team at a competitive disadvantage? And then I also asked him, hey, do you understand that this choice you're making could lose you your job before you've even got to start it? And he really didn't have an answer for either one of those. He kind of sidestepped them both, and I just you know, if he wasn't willing to answer them straight up, I wasn't going to keep hammering him on. I just wanted to make sure and ask the question, made him sure he understood that both of those, there are consequences to the actions. His players who were there had to answer a lot of questions about him. Max Borghi and Javon Woods, they stood behind him. They were very, very clear about how the locker room had Coach Rolovich's back, how he would, you know, he would lay down in traffic for these kids. And I believe that to be true. The optics are just awfully, awfully bad, and it could cost him a lot.
Ryan, I'm assuming you asked him those questions when he joins you guys on the Sirius XM show, right? Or did you ask him that in the actual press conference?
On our show, because we were on radio for 5 hours yesterday morning.
Yeah, because I did not hear that. Those are two great questions. I did not hear that. I would love to hear, you know, him answer that. You know, one thing that you probably didn't hear or didn't know, Ryan, because you were doing your show probably as his press conference was going on, but, you know, his opening statement was 11 and a half minutes before he took a question, which was, you know, I mean, most coaches were, their opening statement was a minute or maybe 2 minutes. I mean, they clearly did not want to discuss this issue. I mean, that was evident.
Yeah, he wasn't going to. He had everything kind of lined up on how he was going to go about it. And I was a little surprised that he didn't get more questions from people. And I was surprised that I was one of the ones that actually asked him the two questions that needed to be asked. And that was whether or not he understood the expectations of this team to win after what Mike Leach has presented and done. And also, did he know by the making the choice that he did that he's put his team at a competitive disadvantage, especially with contact tracing, if that's something that plays out, what it could cost his team? And then I also asked the question whether or not that he understands that his choice could have the consequence of him no longer being the coach at Washington State. And you know, those were difficult answers that weren't real. They were kind of sidestepped. I wasn't willing to go, you know, hardcore and keep pounding him with it. I let him know that those two kind of questions that were on our minds, and he kind of sidestepped them and went on to. But I tell you what, Jahad Woods and Max Borghi, who were both there, they flat out said the team has his back. Said that Coach Rolovich would be there for them, lay down in traffic for him, and they're behind him. So in his decision making.
Let me ask you just as a former player. I guess that's, I'm not surprised to hear that. You've been in a locker room with 100 guys. I'm just making an assumption here. There is no way that every player in that locker room stands behind him. Would that be a fair assessment?
Never 100% in a locker room. You're always going to have, I mean, just look at the Washington football team right now and their head coach who just beat cancer, who's immunity deficient, and the team's not getting vaccinated, right? So there's different people in the locker room. The leaders, the two voices that were at Pac-12 Media Days, told everybody that the locker room's behind him, and that's what people want to know. But it's disappointing. But as you and I had this conversation a week ago, as somebody who holds a job and is the second highest paid state employee, there's just different consequences to your actions than there are for a regular person who chooses not to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and I wonder if it really is over. I mean, Pat Chun, who I'm sure you spoke with yesterday, gave this quote to Theo Lawson of the Spokesman Review yesterday, where he said, "Everyone in and around Washington State University follows the science. We know vaccines are safe. They're proven effective. We know 99% of those hospitalized with COVID illness are unvaccinated. We urge all Washingtonians to get vaccinated." I mean, that just is, I mean, you know, it just is a remark that he's just throwing it right into the face of his head coach that he's hired. And I just wonder if this is the end of this story or if there's still another chapter to be written here.
I think there's going to be continued conversation. You know, I mean, Pat's not just having conversation with reporters. Pat's having conversations with the governor of the state because of this, right? So this is unfortunately a political thing because everything's political when it comes to this.
Sure.
But yeah, he had to have a conversation with the governor yesterday about what's going on with their head coach, and so it is something that's going to be continued. Their hope is that he comes to his senses, chooses to get the vaccine, and his team will move forward without any more any more delays or hiccups along the way where it can cost them games, actually cost them from playing games, cost revenue for the stadium because Pullman needs to open up.
Let's transition to expansion. How much is expansion on the forefront from what you could gleam yesterday with the Pac-12?
It's right at the forefront. We had George Kliavkov on our radio show yesterday for a good amount of time. We got to ask him a lot of questions about what's next and realignment, and expansion was at the top. And he made it very clear to us that 8 to 10 teams, his phone's been blowing up, 8 to 10 teams, schools have reached out about that. There's talk in the Big 12 that six of the eight teams may be looking to come west. Now, I don't necessarily believe that to be true because one of those teams is West Virginia, and West Virginia is not going to fly 5 hours for games in volleyball and basketball and everything like that. It's just not going to happen. So it will be interesting to see where things go, where BYU fits in all this as an independent. Mm-hmm. But he made it very clear that he's taking calls from teams about this expansion.
If you were to expand, let's say you expand by two, you go to 14. BYU and who? Like, I'm a big believer in BYU. I don't know all the other situations with playing on Sundays, and, you know, there's always been this hesitation with adding them. They are a national brand. I mean, BYU, their fan base is everywhere. Everybody knows who the BYU Cougars are. I think it would be, if you were to expand, I don't want to expand. Hell, I'd like to get rid of Utah and Colorado and go back to old school, but I know that's not happening. BYU and who? Who would be the other team?
I'd probably look at Boise State. I would love to involve UNLV. They're just not good. Mm-hmm. That UNLV is going to be the epicenter of the Pac-12 conference. Las Vegas is going to be ultimately. I believe headquarters are going to move there. With what they're going to be able to do with Allegiant Stadium for the Pac-12 championships, not only in football but also in basketball, it's going to be the epicenter. If UNLV could become a football team that could recruit and do things, and I think they're going to be able to. That's their home stadium. They're going to be able to do some new things. Marcus Arroyo is, I think, a great coach. I wouldn't mind that if they can find a way to get better and win. Right now, they're just so bad at football, and that's a problem. But BYU is one for me. I would look into the Big 12, too. I wouldn't mind expanding to 16 teams, maybe looking at Texas Tech. And Iowa State, something like that. I don't know if Iowa State would come that far.
Where are we at with Herm Edwards? What was his reaction yesterday to all the questions about the future of his program?
He was very, very good at sidestepping some of those questions. As you know, the questions were asked, they were done in a way where they asked questions. Well, when this was going on for this other team, this is what they struggled with or anything like that. He said, well, I'm not worried about what other teams did or what other teams were going on. I'm worried about what we're doing, and we're going to be doing the next right thing. And I mean, it was kind of condescending. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows what's going on, and everybody's a little, our biggest worry is if you are a Pac-12 fan is that this team could be very, very good and they find a way to win the South Division and they're getting wrapped up and ready to play in the Pac-12 championship against the likes of, I don't know, you know, Cal, Oregon or Washington or something like that. And the hammer drops, yeah. You know, and there's egg all over the Pac-12 conference's face, as well as Arizona State. And it's going to be. I have a hard time seeing how he gets out of this. But I can tell you right now, the team's very good. Yeah. The team's going to be very good, and that's something that Ray Anderson was looking for. I guess at any cost. When we're all looking at it from the back end of it.
You know, preseason rankings are preseason rankings, media polls are media polls. Were you surprised to see Oregon over Washington? Do you think Oregon is all around? I mean, the full boat, a better team than Washington?
I think Oregon's quite a bit overhyped. There's a lot of unknowns. Now, they have probably the best talent with the way they've recruited, and they have a really good mindset. They believe they're going to go with Anthony Brown at the quarterback, who's got a lot of experience. He's never beat a top 25 team in his life, so that's asking a lot. And a new defensive coordinator running a whole new defense. You're asking Kayvon Thibodeau to be a different kind of player, an outside linebacker. I know he's going to do the same thing most likely, get his hand on the ground and rush the passer. But there's some different things, and Washington brings a lot back now. Washington didn't play a road game at all last year. Dylan Morris never started on the road. His first start on the road is going to be in the Big House in front of 112,000 mm-hmm. people, right? So it's going to be interesting. I, I, I don't think Washington's getting enough credit, and I hate to say that, but I really like the Cal Bears. I do. If Chase Garbers can, if Chase Garbers can stay healthy, I really think there's a chance for this team to do some special things, because Justin Wilcox and Peter Sermon are going to do some interesting things on defense. Coyne Dang is a special player at linebacker. They got a lot of guys back. Luke Beckett is back. I mean, they're going to be really good on defense, as they always are, but I think Chase Garbers and those skill position players have been able to play together for a few years. I was not surprised when they got picked third by the media pool.
Yeah. All right, go enjoy your golf. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Great stuff. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll catch up soon. Thanks, Ryan. And with that, we lost him.
No, just like I'm that. Here.
There you go. I thought we lost you. Hey, enjoy.
Did you hear me say go Cougs?
No. The phone was cut. It's all good, man.
All right, man.
See you, Ryan. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
There he is, Ryan Leaf, joining us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. We'll be back with more right here on Sports Radio 950 KJ and podcasts all in one app.
What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
All right, so what?
What's up with
it's that? A what's up with that Wednesday. Before we get to your text, we got to get a brand new sponsor, though, Curtis, for next week. A show sponsor, all money going to the Ronald McDonald House. This is the last day that we are inside the world famous Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com. Give Jerry a call at 206-510-2749. $750 last week. It raised our total up there to $15,750. So, 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. If you would like to be our sponsor for the next week, give us a call at 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. Minimum of $500, what we're looking for. We understand how times are tough now, so we'll take anything. We want to raise money for a good cause. Again, $15,750 that we have raised here so far. And we're looking to add to that total and trying to get our total there up to at least $20,000 if we can. So if you'd like to donate, you want to promote your business, promote your company, 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. Curtis tells me on my ear, we already have somebody on that would like to bid.
We do.
Okay, who is it?
Ron and Jeff Weir of the golf club stand.
Ron and Jeff Weir, are they on hold?
Not at the moment, no.
Oh, Ron and Jeff, can we get them back on?
I can call them.
Yeah, let's get them back on. I'm told Ron and Jeff Weir from the golf stand, and I'm all choked up about Ron and Jeff being able to donate this money that will get them back on the air. Promote their business. This is what we do. We'll see how much money they're willing to spend, how much closer are they going to get us to our goal of $20,000 all raised there for the Ronald McDonald House? I should say training camp's underway for your Seattle Seahawks. We'll be out there starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Well, we won't be out there, but Ian will be out there starting at 1 o'clock in our coverage throughout the afternoon there with Ian at 1 o'clock. Free agency, the Kraken have signed a few players today. Here's NHL free agency is underway. Earlier this morning that it started, they signed a goaltender, Philip Grubauer. They have also signed Jaden Schwartz and Alexander Winberg, a center. Schwartz is a forward, and Grubauer is a goaltender. I think that's the biggest deal, 6 years, about $35, $36 million that they signed him to. Other news and notes, Aaron Rodgers. I am told that it's a very eye-opening press conference that he had earlier today, mulling retirement, and just aired all the dirty laundry of the entire organization. We'll probably have to react to that tomorrow. All right, who is on hold
here? This is Ron.
This is Ron? Ron, how are you, sir?
You know what? I am having a great day. It's great to talk to you, my friend.
Ron, what's the company that you would like to donate in honor of today?
Well, it's called Weir Enterprises. It's a company my brother runs. We have it's not a real big company. It's just a... Just to him, he invented a little thing called, it's called a golf club stand.
Okay.
That one day I was playing at Fairwood.
Oh, shout out to Fairwood. How about Fairwood Golf and Country Club?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I was playing there, and first week there, had two clubs in my hand out in the middle of a fairway.
Yeah.
And, you know, played a shot, hit a great one, and left a club sitting there and lost it. So as a joke, my brother built this stand, and he cut it out of an old piece of rosework lattice, a piece of metal that looked like a big number four.
Sure.
And he handed it to me. I said, "What's this?" He said, "Well, it's a golf club stand." I said, "Okay." I said, he goes, "From now on, when you're out in the fairway with two clubs, poke it in the ground, lean your club up against it. You'll never forget it." Well, I put it in my golf bag, and the next day I used it. The guy that I was playing with goes, "What is that?" And I said, "It's a golf club stand." He goes, "Where'd you get it?" I said, We make them. He says, "Can you make me one?" And that's how the company took off. We did a worldwide patent search on it, bought the patents on it, and we've been going since then.
Okay, what's the Ron? This is on. What's the name of the company again for me?
Weir Enterprises.
Weir Enterprises.
Yeah.
Okay. Weir Enterprises. And how much would you guys like to donate to the Ron McDonald House?
$750.
$750. Perfect. My math is now correct, which someone's got to double check me on because I'm terrible at math. That would bring us to $16,500 raised for the Ronald McDonald House. Oh, Ron, that's cool. What is the website? If someone wanted to purchase one of these golf club stands, how would they do it?
Well, what you do is just go to Facebook. Okay. And we'll punch them off of Facebook, and it'll be on the site. The guy's name, my brother's name is Jeff Weir.
Jeff Weir, and how do you spell last name?
W-E-R-R-E.
W-E-R-R-E. Okay, yeah.
And like you said, we've sent them as far away as Greenland and Iceland. We've got them all over the world. So,
well, golf club stands are very popular in Iceland.
Well, again, they're popular just about everywhere. If you would. Again, you know, never lose a club again.
That's right.
Your favorite wedge that costs a bunch of money, you know, or do the walk or drive a shame where you got to go back and.
Yeah. Have you guys seen my wedge?
That's it.
All right. So go to Facebook and then just search for Jeff Weir, W-E-R-R-E.
That's it. Yep. Okay. And we'll get the order in and we'll get it off the next day to you.
Okay. And that's the best way to order. No phone number, no nothing like that.
Nope, that's the best way.
You guys want to be the Weir Enterprises studio or the golf club stand studio?
How about the golf club stand studio?
Yeah, that's kind of got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Ron, appreciate it, and I know the fine folks at the Ron McDonald House appreciate it as well. Thank you so much, and thank you to your brother, Jeff.
You bet. You bet, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, there he is. There's Ron Weir, his brother Jeff Weir, because Ron, his brother, kept leaving his golf clubs behind, invented the golf club stand. And if you're interested in buying it, go to the Weir Enterprises, W-E-R-R-E. Search them on Facebook, Jeff Weir, W-E-R-R-E, for the golf club stand. $750 raises now our total for the Ronald McDonald House to $16,500. So starting tomorrow, we'll be inside the golf club stand studio. How about that? Huh? Great cause. Thank you so much for Ron giving us a call. Also, thank you to Jerry for spending the past week with us in the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com, raising money for a great cause.
Speaking of adding to the pot, the Houston Astros have. Again, they've just acquired a reliever, Yimi Garcia, from Miami.
For the Marlins. Yes.
For outfielder Brian De La Cruz.
Son of a gun. Jerry. Hey, Jerry, what are we doing? Huh? Come on, Jerry. All right, so they're loading up on their bullpen. Well, that's the Achilles heel of that team. It was their bullpen. So smart moves there on the Astros' part to go out and acquire that. The A's making a trade, if you're just joining us, the Starling Marte earlier today for Jesus Luzardo. And you should note that I read it wrong earlier. The Marlins picked up the majority, I think, in fact, all of the salary for Marte. And that's why they parted with Lazardo. All right, 49451. Let's sneak in a few if we can on a What's Up With That Wednesday. 49451. This is from Ben. What's up with Kliavkov telling Softy the Pac-12 doesn't have any problems with the quality of officiating? Yes, I heard that. And also Merton Hanks shooting it down. Like, there's nothing wrong with our clueless. And I don't know what else they're supposed to say, but not that. My God. Terrible. It's the worst officiating in all of college football. There's nothing worse than it. Nothing. What's up with Kelnick standing up straight or immediately yielding results Do we not have any coaches that could have taught him that? You know, I'll say this. It was, when you sent me the quote and I read the quote, yeah, and then I saw it, it was one of the things I thought of immediately. Did they not, I don't know, figure that out maybe sooner? He was squatting down too much? That's apparently the issue. He's leaning, he's hunching over, and that in his third at bat, he stood more straight up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The quote from Kelnick was, "I've been hunched over when I've been swinging, and I think that just where my eyes have been set up, it's kind of made those pitches, those hanging breaking balls, look higher than they are, yeah, and that's why I freeze a little bit, and then I'm more susceptible to pitches down where pitchers make their money is going getting guys to chase down. So it wasn't really a good mix. So I stood up more, basically." And that a pitch, basically a good pitch, he said that was down in the zone, he didn't even think of swinging at because it was obviously low to it. It's one of those things, like, you'll just kind of over time work yourself out of a spot. I relate everything to golf, but sometimes your swing's in a good spot and then you just start creeping away from it and making a little adjustment
my swing sucks.
Then you're 8 miles away all of a sudden.
I have 10,000 different swings this summer. What's up with people being so fascinated by minor league stats? I don't know. What's up with you not reading that many texts anymore? I just read the text. I don't know. I just read your text. What do you want from me? A lot of these I can't read. Blah, blah, blah.
The GM job is to construct a team. If it doesn't work, he's fired. He has nothing to explain. This is not giving up. He does have something to explain. Because those players are being asked to go out there and play for the team, play for him. And he has a responsibility to the club and to those players. And I think they feel like what the move that they made yesterday doesn't feel like he has their back.
Well, I mean, I think that's exactly how they feel. They don't feel that he has his back. They don't feel that Jerry DePoto is fighting for them. They don't feel that management is fighting for them. That's the big issue right now with this team. That's the big issue, how they feel. They want something to propel them to win. They're players. They want to win. That's why they play. They literally want to have better players, and you got rid of a guy. You got rid of a guy who was instrumental in them getting to this point. Of course they're going to be upset about it. It's hard for them to wrap their head around why you would do that. To go back to the one player's quote. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of Mariner fans like myself that feel like this. The quote was from a player to Ryan Divish. Are you bleeping kidding me? It never changes. They don't care about winning. How do you trade him and say you care about winning and you trade him to Houston? It never changes. There's a lot of us that feel like that. And until they do something different, until ownership, John Stanton, and others act in a different method, this is how a lot of us feel. I mean, it's just how we feel. You don't have to feel that way, but it's how a lot of the fan base feels. And I've been amazed, I think, with a lot of people that they've not understood that. I really have been, because it's hard, man. They just make it extremely hard to buy into them all the time. They just do. And we do. I mean, I do. All right, that's it for today.
Plowing ahead!
Coming up next.
Ian, for details.
Coach, I'll just tell it like it is. A lot of lack of discipline, at least in the first half here.
Who made you the coach?
No one.
Hey, Curtis, we're classing up the joint.
Well, he's tall, like the normal person who sits in the studio.
Is he as tall as Furness? Joe Fan, how tall are you, Joe?
6'3". 6'3", with shoes on.
What's he in? I think he's like
6'4". Yeah, 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah. Well, probably asked me by a bit, but the beard is so majestic, I can't compete with
it. It is a majestic beard. Now, I mean, you obviously, this is like when they ask you, like, can you ever pick your favorite kid? And every parent says, no, I can't pick my favorite kid. But they do have their favorite kid. Clearly, Ian has chosen his favorite kid, and that's TV.
Yeah.
Can't be here today to do his own radio show. He's got to do TV.
I'm going to stay out
of
that one.
Son of a gun. Oh, no, don't get into it. Get into it, because this is what we're going to do. We're gonna pester him all day today why he couldn't come in and do his show. No, he's doing TV for Q13. Joe Fan is here sitting in for Ian for the 2 hours. And I would assume there'd be a lot of training camp talk.
A lot of training camp talk.
Mariners talk.
Discussing Mariners. We've got Ryan Clark of The Athletic on at 2.
Sweet.
It's going to be a really fun conversation. He's on every week with Ian, but hasn't been on in what's been the craziest week in the short history of the Kraken, yeah, with the expansion draft, the entry draft, free agency has begun. There are a number of names that we all need to get to know. Ryan is the expert and can. I've got a number of questions for him. I'm excited to hear his answer and learn a bit more about this team and the players on it and how the roster construction is coming together to this point.
Well, yeah, how about what do you think about the Mariners torching all their goodwill in 24 hours?
Oh, how about that?
That was fun.
I mean, it's just so classic Mariners. Like, I am on the side of let's see how the rest of the week plays out. But it is so classic Mariners if they're coming off of one of their most emotional wins in years against a hated division rival that has had their number for years. I mean, last night when they win, they edged the Mariners. They held them off after what was almost a second straight epic comeback in the ninth inning. The Astros tweet out this graphic. They've got, it's like they're like, 130 against the Mariners all time. It's the best record in the history of baseball for one team against another. So it's very much a big brother, little brother type situation. And the Mariners trying to change that. And this is a huge series to do so. And yeah, yesterday afternoon, they blew it all up with the fan base and the clubhouse. And then poor Abraham Toro just got to walk in and be like, hey guys, I'm Abraham.
Yeah, you feel bad for him, man.
All the glares.
He's just walking into a situation. I'm poor. He's 24 years old.
You think Kyle Seager like walked by him and like gave him like a shoulder bump? Like didn't even, you know, oh, sorry, didn't see you there.
Yeah, or just made him take out the trash, you know, pick up the equipment, pick up the jock straps. I don't know. I do not envy the position that he was in because that was unfair to him. But, you know, I mean, it's
Joe Smith, scoreless inning. Abraham Toro. A home run in his debut, a pinch hit.
The only
bomb.
Good thing about Joe Smith is who he's married to. That's literally the only good thing.
Who's
about
he married
him.
To?
He's Allie LaForce.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know
That's his wife. That's it.
Okay.
Other than that, he's worse than Rafael Montero. Montero's a better pitcher than him, statistically wise. And
yeah.
You DFA'd him, and then you acquired this kind of trade. So I don't know. To me, it's very on brand. It was just a very on brand move by this organization.
Even if you are giving it every benefit of the doubt, like I said, it's still a very on brand move of like, yeah, you couldn't ride it. That win for 24 hours, you got 12, yeah. And then it was all yeah. lit on fire.
Yeah, just that they could teach a master's class on how to absolutely torpedo a great public relations standpoint. They're classic at it. They're used to it. All right, so we got Ryan Clark, and he's coming on to talk about the free agency. We got probably training camp, and we got the Mariners. What else am I missing?
We got the text line. It's going to be hot all day, we hope. And then we'll chat with Softy and Dick at the end.
Would just bypass that. I would just not do it.
Yeah, I'll talk to Kevin Shockey about that and see if
yeah,
we can
really
make some,
just say, you know what, I don't need crosstalk.
We might just keep going and be like, hey, you guys can start it. You guys can start
well,
at 4. We're
well, I wouldn't o'clock. Offer that because they will take that. I guarantee it. All right, Joe Fan sitting in today for Ian Finesse. Enjoy yourself. He's got you covered here for the next 2 hours. Ian's doing TV there on Q13. We'll be back tomorrow. Ian will be starting our coverage live from training camp tomorrow, starting there at 1 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow on a 80s Throwback Thursday. As always, this train wreck. We promise to be better. We'll see you tomorrow.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak to